We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, John Carlo Navas, on a three-game winning streak. Say that for the first time this season. With me today, on the bottom of the screen, the great Siobhan.
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, G. Hey,
you're our credibility. Siobhan, you are kind of like the Heat Beat credibility. You have played the game at the highest levels. You shove us into lockers because we talk about our dumb numbers because you're the jock here. Right, you're the one that would kick our ass. You give this show a credibility we've never had.
First of all, don't put that jockness on me. I was a sweetheart in school. I was super awkward. I appreciate it. I think you guys know what you're talking about. I'm just here to offer, you know, a little different perspective, if I may.
And if you would like to read that perspective, Siobhan's debut article for Miami Heat Beat is posted live on heatbeatmiami.com. So check it out. She's right on the homepage, right at the very top. It's a story about Jimmy Butler, their win against the Knicks, and almost like a stream of consciousness. I don't know, Siobhan, you sell the article because it's really in your voice, and it's rather exceptional.
Yeah, it's super stream of consciousness. It's how I watch the game. And so I was just making bullets for every quarter, and I was going back and turning the like kind of chronological bullets into, you know, into sentences and into thoughts. And it really is in my voice it's in my voice. It's I don't know, it's how I think about basketball, what sticks out. To me, it means so much to me. I love you guys. I'm super happy to be here. I used to write for creative purposes a while ago, and then I just stopped and hadn't gotten back into it and like, felt bad and was like, damn, you know, you're not yourself. And yeah. So this is one of the things that like feel good to kind of come back into myself. So I thank you guys. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Be nice because I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit.
Absolutely. It's great shit. And if you love basketball, you know, we have little play breakdowns and kind of you get an athlete's perspective on what's going on the court. So check that out. HeatBeatMiami.com. To the left of me here on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat. If you're a podcast listener, remember you can get in the conversation right now. We have chat popping. You know, we're doing this live. We do it with y'all. We do it for y'all. And also joining me today is our 2K coach, Frankie.
Free Chef Trilly. Free Marco. This is some bull. Come on, Twitter.
Marco's gone too?
They got Marco.
Yeah.
They got Marco?
Yep.
Damn, yo. Darkwig Pinky in chat saying hashtag free chef truly. Yeah, let me say something. DFCA is no joke. They scare me.
Yo, one time, Marco, they got Marco for a video from 3 years ago.
Oh, no, that's happened to us. So one time, Alex, our professional screw-up, Alex Toledo, was covering a Heat summer preseason game in, like, Boca. It was, like, one of the scrimmages. And he took a video of a play, right? And they caught us because in the background they were playing Usher's Yeah. And they caught us on the background noise. So Heat Beat has, like, a strike or something. We disputed it, but yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's wild. Twitter's these wild streets. Let me tell you, DMCA. I don't fuck with that.
They scary. Won't get the Nazis, though. Come on.
Right.
No.
Police what they want to police.
Yeah.
It took Trump to incite an insurrection, right? And we're just tweet out Usher's, yeah, we'll get a damn strike. It's out here crazy. So we have a lot to talk about today. The Heat are on a 3-game win streak, and it's really kind of it's a sigh of relief that we're not doing another podcast after a loss. And it looked kind of dicey at some points during that Knick game. And I kind of want to start there. Siobhan, we've talked a lot, especially like in our group chats, about kind of the mentality of this team. And you've said a lot, you know, they don't have dogs on this team. Like, other than Jimmy, they don't really have, and even Jimmy, they don't have like a score first guy.
Yeah.
And I kind of pushed back on that for a while because I'm like, well, their offense was really good last season. They were seventh in offense. They were scoring on whoever they wanted. They shredded the Bucks. They did whatever they wanted to a really elite Celtic defense. And even to the Lakers, who are a good defense, they got whatever they wanted. The circumstances have changed.
Yeah.
Mentalities have changed. And I think you have kind of proven to be right on this.
I think it's a lot of things happening at once. I think first and foremost, we can't underestimate, you know, other teams' preparedness in coming into the season. And so a lot of the things that we were shredding folks with last season, a lot of that, it was schematically. Like, we just have great play design, good play call, and it was relatively fresh with the lineup that we had. So it was new. I think what's happened now is that other teams have caught up at least a little bit in some ways. Duncan's not shaking, you know, as loose and as free as he was. And at the points at which your schemes stop working, you have to be able to know that you have a guy on your roster that's gonna be like, fuck it, give me the ball. And it takes Jimmy a bit too long sometimes to flip that switch. I know we all kind of like bang our heads over him not being as aggressive, as we would like him to be early on in the games. And so we fight with him with that, and also with, you know, not wanting him to have to take on all of that load, especially, you know, in the first quarter of this season. And so it's tough. Bam doesn't give it to you consistently. Tyler doesn't give it to you consistently. We're seeing him, you know, kind of round back into form, but you do need a score first guy with the mentality to score first, but also has the skill set to be able to go out and execute score first.
And I think that that's a Frankie, we've talked a lot about this on the show, how the Heat, you know, kind of to your point about Duncan, Siobhan, the teams are switching those handoffs a lot, right? So before, teams were kind of afraid to switch those Duncan Bam handoffs because, you know, when you put a small guy on Bam, that'll usually mean trouble. And I think Duncan was reasonably good at that little slip pass. Mm-hmm. What's happened is teams are just more willing to do it, and Duncan's not punishing them off the dribble, and Bam's not punishing the small guys when they flip that around. So teams are like, well, I mean, for the most part, we're going to get away with this, and we're going to stop what was their pet action last year. And Duncan's shooting 39.398, which is about 40%, but to see a 3 in front of a shooting percentage is kind of weird. He's shooting the exact same attempts as last year, 9.3, I'm sorry. So that is kind of the difference, right, Frankie? So like, as Siobhan was saying, like, they have like this schematic, they used to have this schematic advantage, and all of a sudden teams are like, wait, no, we can punish you and you're not going to get us.
And another thing, like, Siobhan was I'm listening to Siobhan talk about needing a scorer who's attack score first, who can play make a little bit. And I'm just going back to the bubble when Goran Dragic is the starter, fully healthy, and turn this team around from a second round team to a finals team. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're missing. Siobhan's,
I think,
100%.
You're right, frankly. I think Goran might actually be the closest, other than a Jimmy, that we do have on this roster. You're right.
and he's not healthy right now, right. So we can't even use him. Like Kendrick is definitely score first, but he doesn't have the playmake side to him. But you know, they miss Goran's ability to break a defense down. He's good. He can bend the defense. He can attack a bent defense. He can shoot off the dribble. He can attack the rim. He's one of our best lob passers. So the bigs love him, and you know, all the guys play well with him. So they're definitely missing that element. And as for the Duncan thing, I think a lot of their struggles have come from relying too much on that dribble handoff. They take such a long ass time to get into their sets. They walk the ball up, and it takes 6 to 8 seconds to get into their sets. Then they're spending 10 seconds trying to get that dribble handoff, and nothing there. And boom, you've got 5 seconds to get a shot. You're taking a contested jumper somewhere, and that's not good offense. My biggest thing is I think they should run more plays early in the offense for Jimmy and Bam to get inside in the post, look to play make, look to attack. They can run options either way, and then run weak side options more often. Because they rely way too much on going outside in when they should honestly go inside out. Because that's get some easier buckets. It gets Jimmy and Bam going. They get their points in the paint, and all their shooters are bigger threats once the inside game's established. Because if they start the game and the shooters aren't hitting shots, the defense is going to start sagging in and closing in, and that takes away all the lanes for Jimmy and Bam.
So kind of to your point, and Christian Hernandez, our statistician and photoshopper, tweeted this out today. He and I were talking about like kind of the Olynyk factor in that as that outside shooter guy, right? You know, Jimmy in, spray it out to Kelly out. So Kelly, obviously, we have very well documented the roller coaster experience that has been the Kelly Olynyk shooting season. But, you know, I think this is an interesting point to this. When Kelly is on the court with Jimmy, he's shooting 50% on 3-point attempts and 54% overall from the field. When Jimmy's not on the court with him, that number is 37 overall percent on field goals and 26% from three, which makes sense. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, when Gabe is hitting you with the ball, when it's, you know, Kendrick Nunn, when it's, you know, Chris Silva, you know what I mean? Like the catch and the shoot is not as crisp, right? Yeah. So I think, and also like the attention that Jimmy directs, it's a little different. Yeah. I mean, I think Kelly's mostly shot open shots, but a lot of it's like he sidesteps to get open, right? And it's more of a panic than an in rhythm thing.
Yeah, like it's the attention that Jimmy brings once being down there is a huge point. And you were saying like it's a different type of look than a Gabe driving kick or a Kendrick driving kick. And I think it kind of plays into what Frankie was saying, that like Kendrick is score first, but what we want to see better out of him is decision making. Jimmy and able to manipulate, you know, the defenses to get to those lanes to where those decisions are easier to be made. Jimmy is a pro at that. And so, yeah, not only do you have what's a more downhill motion, the defense more collapse, and then you also have a guy who's actively, you know, looking to make lanes for the easy, you know, kick out pocket target pass.
I love that you said that, because when you talk about a guy that manipulates a defense, it's Jimmy, right? Yeah. Jimmy is organizing the floor.
Absolutely.
He is setting his own chessboard to get what he wants. And guys like Kendrick don't do that. And to an even extent, guys like Bam don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Bam reacts. Bam plays on the chessboard given to him, and he's good. What he should be doing is setting his own chessboard, mm-hmm. which is kind of what we've all kind of talked about. Get down low, you know, be more aggressive, get to that face up, you know, all that stuff. You know, Goran's another guy that kind of sets his own chessboard, right? Goran dictates mm-hmm. the terms into which you are going to guard me, which, by the way, kind of to Frankie's point a second ago, you know, as a guy who can create, when Jimmy, well, their offense goes off a cliff, as we've seen when Jimmy sits, you know, that's supposed to be Goran in the regular season. Hey, Jimmy comes out, Goran's going to come in. He has a nice partner in Precious, right, as a pick-and-roll threat and all that, and you can kind of survive those minutes. So that's – I think that's kind of been tough.
Even
you know,
still, though, how much is that supposed to be Goran really in the regular season, right? Aren't we – ideally, this dude's supposed to be on ice. but we all – you know, it's been well documented how we can't afford to keep him on ice. But
– I mean, it's also a factor when Jimmy's not on the floor. at least early on in the season. A lot of those bench lineups with injuries, since we're playing with like six or seven of our rotation guys, our bench lineups are Andre, Precious, Duncan, Nunn, and the G Leaguer of the night, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, whoever it is. And they're Chris Silva. They're not playing well together. So that's a big part of the reason that the numbers take a dive. It's just early season nonsense with the bottom of the roster playing so much.
Like they had I forgot, it was the Washington game where they blew them out. And then at the end of the game, it's like Gabe, it's Strus, it's Kendrick Nunn, and it's Kaze Akpala on the floor. And I was like, man, all those dudes started for them not that long ago. Like, this is garbage time, and they're out here playing when, you know what I mean?
And that's
like,
why they should be playing again.
Only that time.
Yeah, right? So it's like they were depending on these dudes right. on a nightly basis when they're just – that's not who they are. That kind of brings me to another thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, which is Gabe Vincent, right? And it's kind of spot on the rotation. So, you know, they're going forward. We've talked a lot about this road trip that's coming up. It's really a make or break for their season. And we're going to get into the specifics of that in a second. But they don't have bodies, Frankie. And a guy like Gabe, I think on paper and in theory, he's nice to have. But it looks like their guards are set. And for him to play, they're running three guards, right? So, like, they'll put Kendrick, Tyler, and him, or Kendrick, Duncan, and him. And those lineups just legit don't survive.
At all.
So I don't know if there's a place. And, like, I hate small guards. I hate when you throw out small guard backcourts. It's just kind of my problem has always been with Tyler. And I used to talk about this before when they had, like, the Deion Tyler Johnson backcourt, right, or the Deion Gordon. I'm like, that shit's too small. And, like, I'm not like a big person that like you need a big 7-footer as your center, because I think you can survive with a guy like Bam with a big wingspan. You don't need a Rudy Gobert or an Andrew Bynum or some shit, but you need like positional size. Like your guards need to be able to provide some resistance as a help defender. I think your wings largely should be kind of long guys like Jay Rich and stuff like that. So they have small guards. They have a lot of them. And then they start playing them together. Yeah. Like what the hell? Yeah.
You didn't like the Rodney Magruder starting at the three? God.
No. Remember when they put him on Kawhi?
You remember when they had like 7-6-4 guys that all played the two? It was none of them could play the one. It was maddening.
It was crazy.
But I'm looking at Gabe Vincent's stats. Gabe Vincent is surprisingly 6'3". He looks shorter.
He does look shorter. I looked at that same measurable.
I think it's the afro.
But I love the afro look. Gabe, I want Gabe to have that. Yeah, it's a great look. He looks very handsome with the afro.
But it's you know, Gabe's shooting 25% from three on four attempts. It's not good.
Isn't that what he's good at?
Yeah, it's supposed
to be. Like his skill?
It's supposed to be what he's good at. But I mean, somebody in the chat, I think it's you, Fred Van Vliet, mentioned the Raptors, Fred Van Vliet and Kyle. Those guys dig into their guys on defense. Those guys both can hound. They're strong. They're built, you know, Kyle's very wide, very, very wide. He looks like he could fit into Jack's jacket. And,
Jack fat?
No, I was making fun of Jack's angle in the chat because it was so close up. It looks like his jacket was like the size of Moose's apartment. no, but you don't have guards that can dig into them and that can play bigger and can guard multiple defenders, guard multiple positions. One of the things about a guy like Norris Cole or Mario Chalmers, those guys, you know, Mario had the good wingspan, but Mario is getting underneath you. That if you start dribbling around you, he's gonna pick your pockets, and you can't play with
him. Passing lanes really well. He's a really smart gambler.
Absolutely. And all these guys, like Nunn has great wingspan too. I don't know his exact measurement, but his arms look long. But
he took more chances.
Yeah.
I wish that he kind of played those passing, because he's just not gonna stay in front of a dude. So if you're not gonna stay in front of a guy, at least like really stress those passing lanes. So like you make a defender think, right? If they want to spray it out to a shooter that's really killing you,
yeah,
you kind of make them think twice, and then either he or Jimmy, or if they have to float a pass, somebody can take it.
Yeah, I mean, and it was like Tyler. Tyler didn't have a great wingspan either, and he's only like 6'3", 6'4".
But he gets into it. Yeah, he's
grabbing you by the jersey, Siobhan. You know the jersey drill. You gotta tuck your hands
underneath.
In.
Yep.
You gotta get underneath.
And y'all practices?
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is a big time. Yeah, no hands.
Play defense with no hands. Hands behind the back. Hands in the jersey. And that's the thing. It's all about body and movement. And it's, what were you gonna say, G? Or what were you gonna?
No. Good go.
I think it's a combination of both of the things that I like when I say that we need size and we need dogs, because the absence of one definitely, you know, stresses the need to have the other. But when you don't have either of those things, see, so you like a Kyle and a Fred, they, while short, they have a different type of size. Size isn't always height. Size isn't always, you know, roundness. You can be solid. You can be sturdy and be considered to have good size on you. The two of them are shorter guards, but they have a different level of dog. They're going to sacrifice their body. They're going to get into guys because they know that they have to compensate for their lack of measurables. We have small guards who are just small and don't have, they're not physical. They don't have the heart, you know, say what you want about, feel how you want to feel about Norris and Amario. I said on Twitter the other day, Norris had heart. Norris played with the chip, and to your point, you know, Tyler will give you some of that, but we don't have enough of it currently. More consistently and currently.
I think that Nick game, it was a startling contrast, because I think the Knicks are for sure like less talented than the Heat. I think anybody would watch those two rosters and say, I mean, the Heat have two all-NBA level players, and they have, you know, these like really touted shooters and these high drafted, you know, rookies, and you know, if you redraft the last year's draft, Tyler goes three, right? Reddish is just not gonna go over him or whatever. But the Knicks play physical, and their defense has, you know, their defense, you know, it's been noted that Lowe was on the podcast the other day saying, you know, they allow a lot of threes, a lot of open threes, and teams are just missing, good shooters are missing threes against them, and teams really shoot a high percentage at the rim against them. So some of their defense is a little bit of fool's gold, but I think what is not is how physical they are. You can't call every foul.
Yeah.
Can't. Yeah. Thibodeau School of Basketball. Yeah. Mitchell Robinson, physical as fuck. Yep. Alfred Payton, physical as fuck. Even guys like Quickly and all these guys, they're really digging into players. They're making them uncomfortable. They're contesting hard. And
they're physical as fuck, and they have length.
Yeah. Mitchell's long. Mitchell Robinson, Alfred Gabe Bam fits.
Payton, for his size, he has that positional size you were saying.
I mean, Derek is probably the softest guy in their lineup, but I mean, at the end of the day, if you only have one weak link, you know, defensively in your lineup, I mean, that's fine. You know, especially in the regular season, you know, you can survive. So I don't want to focus too much on the negatives, because they're coming off a 3-game win streak, but it's just, these are conversations that we've had internally a lot, and it's been nice to kind of talk them on air, because I do think that there's something to be said about kind of the way they play. So kind of moving forward to the positives in the road streak. So they have won games, albeit not very pretty. I think Jimmy's play has been fabulous, like absolutely fantastic. The dude has averaged almost a triple-double like every game since he's come back. And it's kind of unfortunate that he may not even make an all-star team because he doesn't have enough games. But whatever, hashtag Jimmy Butler, hashtag NBA All-Star.
That's fine. He needs the rest.
Yeah, that's another thing that scares me. I'm pushing this like Jimmy Butler social media campaign.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm partly scared because, like, you know, what if these dudes go and somebody has COVID and then he brings it back? Like,
yeah,
we don't need that.
We don't need that. We've had enough of our own COVID issues. We don't need, you know, we've had enough fatigue issues and just attrition, you know, of the body type of issues. I'm all for, I mean, you know, I want him to get his recognition for, you know, the hooper that he is, but I'm all for him taking that week or whatever those 5 days are and cooling it.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So Marco in chat says something interesting. I forgot who said this. I think it was Crab. But teams go at Tyler so differently than they go at Nunn, even though Nunn is a worse defender. That's kind of funny because I actually think Tyler's a lot better than Nunn defensively, and I kind of think that's a little bit true, probably because of the wingspan and the jokes and stuff.
It's an uncomfortable thing to say, but like, it's the elephant.
It's the little
white kid in the room. Like, it's a little white kid in the room. I was gonna say elephant in the room, but no, he's a you know, smaller white kid on the floor whom guys have heard nothing.
With short arms.
Yeah, with short arms, right? T Rex arms. And he's a guy who players have heard, you know, all about since last season. The Miami Heat and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. He's out here, you know, snarling at people. That's why I say. Or that's what I mean when I kind of say, I think we underestimate just how much other teams, whether good or bad or any of these things, teams are going to get up for us and are going to target, yeah, him and Duncan, tired of hearing, you know, all this shit about you, put it up, shut it up.
I think that's, and like, you know, the Fruit Hoops, the cereal thing, right? You have all, yeah, you know, you have all these endorsements, the Instagram girlfriend, you
Fruit
know, there's
Hoops
a lot.
Fruit Hoops is hilarious.
Fruit. I mean, I can't. It's not what it's called, but it should be. It should be called Fruit Hoops.
I don't know what it's called.
Or Hoop Loops. Hoop Loops. Fruit Hoops. Either one. That's how we should do it. So, Siobhan, let's get. Frankie is gonna be right back. I have no idea where Frankie went. He'll come back soon. Yeah. Let's get into some of the. Oh, there he is. Frankie's back. Okay, let's get into some of the positives. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's been great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely outstanding. I think one of my favorite things that he's done has been kind of being an off-ball defender this season, like since he's come back, and I think. That's really changed their complexity of their defense a lot because when you have him on ball, you know, really when he gets beat or when they have other actions, he's not involved at the play. When you kind of have him as a help guy, he's able to split that difference between kind of coming in to take a dig at the driver and then was able to close out to shooters because I think one of their big issues was they were giving too many threes, which I think is fine, but they were mostly uncontested threes. Like they weren't even getting a damn handle.
Yeah.
And he's just a much better closeout person. And I think that's also, like, less toll on his body, right? Like, when he's, like, bodying up and, like, being the on-ball defender, having to fight screens and everything, mm-hmm. It's a little different than when you're just worried about the corner man and you're kind of coming in and out.
And just coming off of COVID and losing 12 pounds.
That's true. I didn't even think. I'd see, like, that's there's so much to the season that you don't even think about.
Yeah.
So his defensive effort, to me, Siobhan, I know that the offense is what we're going to tout, but I think, like, what he's given them defensively has been absolutely, like, game-changing for them.
Yep, I think that's a smart thing to point out, too, you know, him playing off-ball and what that does for, you know, kind of the rest of the defense, how he's probably able to preserve, you know, a bit of himself. I still want him and the rest of the guys, though, to be a bit more disciplined, though, in some of our closeouts. I think what you'll see is a lot of the uncontested threes that we give up are off of offensive rebounds because we have closed out improperly, or we'll do that, like, fake, like, jump the passing lane, but with the incorrect hand, so we're taking ourselves completely out of the play, and we're forcing drives and and off of offensive rebounds is the best time to, you know, shoot another three. And so that's, I think, a lot of where, or where at least some of our, you know, uncontested threes that we give up come from. So I like him off ball. I want him to lock in a little bit more, get a little more discipline too. And same for the rest of the dudes, but I like it.
It's also part of the zone defense too, I'd say. I mean, they haven't been playing zone so much, but the zone is very easy once you manipulate it. And
hold on, can I before you continue your point, can we talk about how Crotty oftentimes misidentifies zone? It drives me crazy on the broadcast.
Yeah, he called out a 1-2-2 one time, and I was like looking for where the 1-2-2 was on the floor. Like, that's not what that orientation is.
Sometimes when they switch, you'll say, "Oh, he's in a zone," and I'm like, "No, that was a guard switch." Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I'm sorry to cut you off. You're driving me crazy. McGee in chat says free Tony.
Absolutely. No, you see one of the guys at the top of the 2-3 play the ball, and he's like, and the other guy drop, and he's like, "Oh, 1-2-2." It's like, no, John, that's not what happens here.
Hold on. Again, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Why the fuck are they dropping Andre when they run guard screens? Like, what's the point of dropping Andre in that scenario? Why not switch that? I don't understand. So when Andre's man screens off Tyler, why are they dropping Andre and not just switching?
They probably
don't understand that.
They probably don't want Andre off of his man. That's my best guess. I don't understand the point of just not switching that in general. But
it'd be something. They do it a lot.
They did it last year too.
I mean, I haven't been paying attention to it. I know you pointed it out, but I haven't been paying attention to the matchups. I know the Knicks don't really have like a wing scorer that scares you like that. Barrett a little bit, but I mean, Barrett, you go underneath him and he doesn't really scare you as a shooter.
He doesn't scare you, period.
Yeah, he blew the layup to win the game. So
that was a contested layup.
It was.
He made the very same layup like earlier in the fourth quarter, and he had Jimmy beat. He panicked.
Yeah, he totally beat Jimmy.
He put it too high off the glass.
He justiced it. He did a justice right there.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what justice
would have done. That's absolutely something justice would have done. Damn.
Justice would miss so many. If Justice
and this is what drove me crazy about Justice is that which RJ should have done that Wade would have done a million times. Hit the guy to create the easier angle. So you're not
Jimmy does that.
No, that's what Jimmy, I'm saying. Yeah. Jimmy does that, but I'm saying Barrett should have done that to Jimmy. Is hit the guy to so he's not gonna block your shot and you have the easier angle. Instead, he's trying to finesse it fucking over the 6-7 guy. And that's why they didn't
Tyler
go in.
Tyler does that. Tyler does that too.
Yeah, Tyler doesn't hit him either.
No, like Tyler's touch is better. No, Tyler has actually.
No, he has great
touch. Oh, no, he is. But he's just not a physical driver like that.
Yes, yeah.
I wish Bam had his touch.
Goran does. Remember Goran with the iron shoulder?
Oh, dude, Goran loves Goran. Listen, all these Eastern European players love contact at the rim. Yeah. They're in it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
They're tough.
Luca does that shit all the time. It drives me nuts.
That's fun to watch. I love guys. That
Jimmy's favorite thing is the unextended chicken wing. Like, he'll give you the elbow, but
he
doesn't push off. And, like, you can't call it because it's not.
He doesn't extend.
But he gets just enough space to get it off.
I love when guys, like, find loopholes and rules to the point that, like, everyone notices. And then you, like, the KD.
Until you're James Harden.
That rip through. James Harden has that shit to a T. I mean, James Harden knows the rules better than refs.
Yeah.
Is it true that there was a story that he was telling, he was explaining a rule to a ref? So funny.
Yeah.
Never say he doesn't work hard. Maybe he's not working hard in the film room, but he's reading up. Okay, so road trip coming up. Bam kind of playing better, not to the level we need. Jimmy's pretty much there. Goran not coming. I think we've all kind of discussed that if they go about 500 on the road trip, we take it, but it's not. They need to be better.
I got you. I got you, Siobhan. They play at Houston tomorrow.
Okay.
At Utah on Saturday. At LA on Monday.
Clippers first, right?
Yeah, Clippers. Sorry.
Yep.
Wednesday at Golden State, at Sacramento on Thursday. So that's a back-to-back. And then they have Friday off. They play the Lakers on Saturday, have Sunday, and then they play OKC on Monday.
It's grueling.
God, one back-to-back is encouraging. They usually get fucking Denver on a back-to-back, and then the LA team's back-to-back. So it's not too bad, but that's a heavy hitters of teams. Tomorrow's not going to be fun. Houston's going to defend the hell out of them.
Well, so Vic, I don't think Vic is playing, and I don't think Christian Wood's playing. So that they might catch a break with that one. Yesterday, they just looked demolished by the Pelicans, especially going into the half. Oh man,
Christian Wood and Boogie would, I feel like they would give us fits.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think even DeMarcus with whatever the hell he has left in his career is he's the kind of physical guy that would bother Bam.
Yep. And he's gonna have a shooting night. Like he's a guy who shoots like 33%, but against the Heat, he'll hit 4 for 8, real smooth.
They're pretty good at the bigs. It's mostly the corner guys.
No, I'm just saying, like it's the guy who's an average shooter just has to have that above average shooting night against us.
Career night.
Yeah. Fucking
random scrub heat killer. Let me tell you. Well, anyways, DeMarcus is a scrub at this point. Nah, I don't. I love Boogie.
You know what's hilarious, G? You just explained to me what that means. I've always known that. RS, what? HK. I've always known that it's a thing. I know like the essence. I've always known the essence of like what it meant, but I never knew what it stood for. Thank you for that.
That is a 2012 Heat Twitter special.
Yeah.
Do you know what the flying death machine was?
Probably don't.
Okay, that was anytime LeBron and D-Wade were on a fast break.
Yes.
Flying death machine.
Yeah, I remember all the moments.
Of course. Do you know what Cobra Dick is?
Cobra Dick? I know. Yeah. Is it Maple Dick? Isn't that Kelly?
No, Maple Dick is Kelly, but Cobra Dick was a big three era. Okay, you don't know that one.
I don't.
Frankie, do you know that one?
I've heard a million times, but I don't remember the
it's
origin.
It's just LeBron. It's just LeBron doing, crazy shit. Barco chat. Like, listen, these are
Barco chat.
Wild West. Yeah. Twitter was a different place in the Big Three. Like, Twitter back then could not exist today. Like, the stuff Twitter used to do back then is just not allowed. Skinny G said Chris Joseph coined Cobra Dick. He did, absolutely. Skinny B, one of the founding members of Twitter. Alf too, man. Alf, listen, Siobhan, I don't know if you knew Alf before in like the early 2010s.
Mm-mm.
Different. That was prime Alf.
Ran into Alf like maybe at most like a couple years ago.
Samuel Max. Jackson Abbey Alf. That was a different creature.
Oh shit!
Did you know him, Frankie?
Who?
Samuel Jackson.
Abbey Alf. Yeah. That's when I met Alf.
Yeah. Shout out to Fitz.
Oh, John Wall is a game time decision tomorrow.
Oh, he's another guy. That, I mean, they and the Heat have had this issue pretty much since 2016 that. Fast guards obliterate them. They just can't contain them. Kemba, Wall.
I mean, it's Goron at the helm.
I mean, yeah.
You remember?
A common denominator.
Yeah, I mean, who's what was the Magic point guard? It wasn't Augustine. There was another Magic point guard that used to just light us up.
Shit, it was Augustine.
It wasn't Augustine. I feel like it was somebody else too.
I feel like it was. Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. So I cannot.
But like the Goran was never a horrible defender. Like he was never on the
He was feisty,
but he was just so aggressive with his hands and like reaching and leaning and
physical.
Yeah, he tried to play physical, but
I thought he was in the playoffs. I thought in the playoffs he was physical. He played hard and he wasn't. I think it's important to not be afraid to foul dudes. I think that sometimes guards are just really scared to touch other players, and I think that's just a product of the rules and all that stuff. But in the playoffs, I think Goran has an understanding of the moment of like, okay, they're going to call a lot less doing this.
Yeah, and Goran's smart. He's such a smart player, and he's got so much. He is one of the biggest reasons why his whole Heat tenure. He's one of those biggest reasons I don't give up on young guys as quickly, like to improve. Goran got here at 28, and his game and skill set have improved so much in these years that he's been here. And
as a lob thrower, as a 3-point
shooter,
as a bounce passer,
passing.
He almost killed Hassan every time he tried to throw a lob.
Bro, I used to get so mad. I was like, Hassan's a million feet tall. Like he can't get the ball down there. Like, what are you doing?
Throw it at his ankles.
He would have. James Johnson would slip a trap, and he'd try to. He wouldn't even throw throw a bounce pass to him. He's wide open. It's right there. He doesn't have it.
I used to get mad because, like, I was like, Goran, like, because when Dwayne, and like, when Dwayne, even when Dwayne came back, I was like, Dwayne tries shit. Goran, like, he's, like, risk-averse as a passer.
Yeah.
He just, like, sees a window. He's like, man, no thanks. I'm just going to dribble the ball. D-Wade's like, let's see what we got.
No, that was the thing is Goran would have, like, one turnover, and you're like, oh, Goran played a really good game. But it's like, yeah, because he didn't throw anything. Yeah. He was a game manager as a passer. But he's improved so much. He's taking risks, and he's seeing the reads. So, like, that's why I don't give up offensively or defensively on guys improving. Because we saw Goran do it when he's 28. And got a 20-year-old, you're telling me a 20-year-old can't do that? It's all about work ethic and you know, listening to coaches.
Yeah. Jay Nicho 20 in chat says 2015 Dragic's body, but 2020 Dragic's skill would be a second team All NBA player.
Oh yeah,
it'd be great, man. Yeah. I mean, I think he was second team All NBA one of those years.
Oh my god, you know who it was? It was Elfrid Payton.
Elfrid Payton is Dragic's daddy.
When he was on the Magic, I forgot because of the hair. Yeah. I forgot he was a Magic.
Reggie Bullock took the
the hair. He did
took the hair. Yeah, I used to love Elfrid's hair.
It was cool. I liked it.
So the Heat might catch a break. And by the way, chat's popping with old Heat Twitter lore. Big Shot Bosch, Shane Battier trash talk, obviously, of course. So lots of fun in the chat.
I fucking love Bosch.
Could you imagine Chris Bosch playing next to Bam? We don't have to like revisit this because it's that. I mean, what a perfect compliment.
Chris Bosch would be the prototypical. Chris Bosch would be like the perfect big for today's game. Finesse enough to get there and finish. He played with like a weird amount of dog and passion and aggression with him too. Mid range would extend it to the three. He'd be awesome.
Chris Bosh, I love listening, Bam, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, Bosh was such a great screener because he can flip the screen. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll. Good with both hands around the basket. He can make the pass on if they collapse, and he could stop and just hit that mid-range, and he was fucking elite from that mid-range spot. God, I missed him so much. He was so good. I loved that it wasn't completely smart to build around him and Wade after LeBron, like to go all in and you know, tie yourself up to make Bob Granger and Luel. But you know, like I do love that those 2 years that Bosch got to play, like he was so damn good.
Yeah. There were times that like he was possessed by the spirit of Naismith. He was destroying everybody. There were points in the season I was like, Jesus Christ, he's unguardable.
Yeah. No, and though that second, I'll go to my grave saying that 15-16 team when he had they got Dang, they had Goran healthy, they had Bosch healthy, Wade healthy. And they had that second team lineup that it was like Bosch, Dang, TJ, Mario, and Justice. And they would just blow teams out of the water. Oh, my God. Those lineups were so fun.
Yeah.
Those were the days. You know, and it's kind of coming back to our present team. Like, and it's why I've kind of said that they're like one or two rotation players away. Because I think the bench lineup needs a little bit of bolstering. And look into this road trip. And hopefully they catch a break against Houston. Because God knows they haven't caught any breaks. The one break they got was the Clipper game when all their guys were out also and they lost embarrassingly. So that's one thing. And kind of the other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get out of here is kind of their bench stuff because, you know, they have Andre a lot. You know, they depend on Andre way too much in that reserve role. I really liked him in his spot last year where he's just kind of your wing defender. You do spot minutes. You do, like, spot kind of creation. Now they're, like, legit defending – they're like just legit asking him to like run offense at times, right? And it's just like, and I think moving Tyler to the bench really helps that. And I think whenever they get Goran back, and I think they've settled into their lineup. I think Kendrick, Jimmy, Duncan, Kelly, Bam is gonna be the starting lineup for that going forward, right? And then off the bench, you know, you ideally bring Goran, you bring Tyler, which squeezes kind of Gabe and all those other guys.
Avery
out of the rotation.
Gets healthy.
Avery's another guy that could give you minutes. And that, maybe that gets dicey. That's a matchup-dependent thing, right? And then those are your three guys, and then you kind of want a little bit more off your bench. You know what I mean? You kind of look precious, obviously, as well. But I think you want maybe another wing, and I think ideally you would like another starting guy and move Kelly to the bench, maybe a guy in that four spot. The couple things I've thought about, Bealicia, it would be nice for this team. He does fit into their trade exception, but he does have a redundancy with Olynyk. I think if they do, I think what that does is it gives you the ability to trade Olynyk and you can still replace him. Right, so let's say they need to package some stuff to get a guy, right? Let's say they put Duncan, a pick, Olynyk, and Myers, right, to get to salary number, to trade for X good player, right? And then you're kind of worried. It's like, well, we kind of need the Olynyk body, and then you can go to Sacramento and be like, hey, listen, you know, you're trying to get rid of Bealicia, you know, we can give you a second round pick and this, you know, this trade exception, and then oh, bam, all of a sudden you have your backup four spot kind of shirt up or whatever. So I don't know, Siobhan, am I making a mountain out of nothing? Do you think that their bench needs to be bolstered?
Absolutely. I think we certainly need bolstering in the bench. Like you said, the starting lineup is pretty shored up. But I agree, you know, we still need I personally am a fan of getting some length, like you said, a wing player. Someone that can play multiple positions within that wing to four slot. I like what you said about Bealicia too. If that is something that we can do in preparation for maybe having to package Myers or whatever. Like I almost at the point don't care kind of what it is that we do. I definitely do care.
Want something though.
I definitely do care what it is that we do, but I'm with it. Strengthening the bench rotation, adding another score and, you know, someone else that can kind of at least hold their own, I think, defensively.
I think they're probably going to have to at best get two of those three needs. I don't think you can address all their needs.
Yeah.
And it'll be like imperfect solutions. And I think that's kind of how it always goes. You're never, you know, like, and I've talked about this a lot, the Harry Barnes propaganda, Harry B. Sacramento's winning games. It's unlikely he's going to be made available for the scraps that Miami has. You know, so you're going to have to look for imperfect fits and make it work. Yeah. Rarely does it kind of, and sometimes, you know, you trade for a guy on the low like Jay Crowder and he turns out to be a lot better than even I'm sure the Heat anticipated. So, you kind of play that roulette, and sometimes you get lucky. And listen, sometimes you don't. So, and that's kind of the way they're going to go. Wrapping up here, do you feel confident, Siobhan, in this team? Now, that's a bit of a loaded question. They're coming off three straight wins. They are now facing the make or break part of their season. I think a lot of their season is going to get decided in this road trip.
Yeah,
because if they fall on their face,
yep,
I think it's kind of done for them.
Yep.
I think that hole is going to be too big.
I really want to say I don't know that I can answer that until I see at least these first three questions, but I don't want to, you know. No, I'm going to say it. I don't know. I'm not going to answer that because I so desperately want to be confident in them. We're absolutely trending in the right direction. I'm not going to shit on this team. Yeah, I said they were gutless and they got jacked in the second quarter. And I meant that, gutless when Jimmy's not there, discombobulated, out of sorts. So to that point, they still have to show me that they can manage that they can manage his absence better. I want to be confident in this team. I like the direction that we're trending. But I'll be better able to answer your question, let's say, after this Clippers game.
Okay, what if I'm going to provide you with this? And I tweeted this out earlier.
What's that?
At GNavas103. Follow me if you don't. Heat are 7-5 in games that Jimmy Butler plays, and that includes the two games that he played on a bad ankle and didn't look healthy. That 2.5 games, because half that Magic game.
So I'll ask you this. Rephrase your question. Like, are you confident in this team to do what? To make the playoffs? To win some games?
I don't know.
Games,
it's confidence. It's
to,
a broad topic.
I mean, I'm confident if Jimmy's playing, I'm confident that we'll win some games.
I don't want to look to what they're going to do in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I look at where they finish in the regular season. Now,
right.
For me, I think if they get to 5, that's what you want. I think the goal at this point should be get to the 5 seed. I think getting a home seed is just unrealistic. I think given the issues with their health and the hole that they dug themselves into, they would need a pretty unprecedented finish, which, again, we've seen Eric Spoelstra teams do it in the past. And for all the shit that we've said on this podcast about what we said about his coaching, how stale it's gotten, how this, how the actions and blah, 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 you know, we have a recent example of him completely changing the way that the Heat played basketball midseason and went 30-11, right? Not that it's going to happen like that again, but, you know, we have a coaching staff that you trust to kind of turn it around. The Heat
are 10th right now. I mean, in theory, we're like two games out of
tied
for 5. Yeah,
they're two games out of 5, and I think 3 games out of 4, right?
Yeah,
they're 3 games out of 4. I think the Celtics, and they lost yesterday to the Kings.
Yep,
2.5 out of behind Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to mention is Jimmy Butler, when he's on the court, the Heat are outscoring opponents by 8 points per 100 possessions. When he's off the court, they're getting outscored by 8 points per 100 possessions. So that's a 16-point swing when he's on versus he's off. He's averaging 18 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists on pretty decent shooting, a 56 true shooting percentage. A lot of that is propped up by his incredible free throw rate and the rate at which he hits free throws. And by the way, for Chad and people who don't know, I like using true shooting percentage because, you know, a lot of his possessions end in free throws. Most of his possessions end in free throws, right? So the shots he's missing, it doesn't matter as much because he's leveraging that for free throws, but he's also shooting a high percentage on his free throws. So true shooting kind of is a stat that gives you a little more perspective as to how, you know, it includes kind of the free throw shooting and the volume at which you shoot free throws. So, you know, he's shooting a relatively efficient number overall. And I think he's been really good this season. And I think his play encourages me to think that they're a lot better than their record, but probably not where we expected them to be preseason.
That part.
Frankie, what you got? How do you feel about them going forward?
I feel like they definitely do need a move. If not to not only to inject some fresh blood, but just, you know, to plug some of those holes. Like you said, I don't think they're going to necessarily be able to plug those holes perfectly, but they do have. I think I could keep going to OKC. I think that there's a move there. They have the trade exception.
Why do you think there's a move with OKC?
Because they have the 2023 pick and loosening
but
up.
That's unprotected. That's an unprotected pick.
It's not. No, that's,
yeah, no, it is.
It's not. I just looked at it today. It's a lottery protected. It's unprotected. Sure? It's unprotected in 2026. This year is the unprotected one.
This year's so the 2026 pick is the unprotected. Yeah. So you're saying that they flipped the protections on
that pick. They take the protections off that, let them get unprotected or loosen it up for a year or two. I think it's a lottery protected for 3 years until 2026. That's when it's unprotected. So you loosen that up. They have George Hill. They have Trevor Ariza, who hasn't played anything for them. I don't know.
He's a buyout guy more than anything.
I hope so. That would help. But the Heat have the disabled player exception from Myers that can help them in recruiting somebody. They have the biannual exception, so they could get two guys in the free agency market. There's guys like Ilyasova
and the trade exception.
Yeah. So they have ways to make trades and make acquisitions. They just gotta, you know, Riley's gotta do his thing.
Are you cutting at that point? You cut
Chris Silva with ease. I cut Gabe first. Struce if I need to.
Yeah,
or KZ. They probably keep KZ. I think they've invested too much in KZ at this point.
Yeah,
I'm trying to. I don't even know who's on at the end of the bench. There's
Frankie, to your point about new blood, I know that a few weeks ago, Tiff, shout out to Tiff, was talking about, you know, maybe there's just haven't needed to been a trade made, you know, just to get some new life, new blood, new personality, you know, just some new energy in the locker room. I feel now though, right? You're coming off your longest win streak of the season. You're coming off 3 games. And you know that you are headed into the toughest part of your schedule, like the make or break point of your schedule. If that doesn't like rally you enough, like if that doesn't refresh in your own blood and like give you, you know, some own, your own stimulation, then some of those guys who don't get up for that definitely, I think, need to get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jin Nicho 20 in chat points out that cutting Gabe and Struce doesn't really open a real roster spot, and I guess that's because they're two-way players.
Yeah, well, if you don't move Myers in a trade, he's a two-way guy that he's gone for the rest of the season. You can decline his team option and waive him.
Who?
Myers.
Oh yeah, but I'm saying that if they don't,
they
don't move him.
Yeah, the
Oh, you're saying that you can cut him. You're saying that
can
cut him.
Yeah, you can cut him for a roster spot. If Mo's not going to be able to play, you do the same thing with him. You have Chris Silva, that's another spot. And if God, how sad is it that on Basketball Reference, the Heat page, Udonis doesn't even have his jersey number
next to him? That's not fair. That's not fair.
I just noticed that right now.
Yo, somewhere Nikias is pissed that Udonis is taking up a roster spot. But listen, that's what the organization pays for.
God,
they have to buy out these guys. You know,
this has to be the last year Udonis stays on the team. Honestly, yeah. it's kind of bad.
I think so.
I will not slander the great Udonis.
I absolutely love Udonis, but man, this is like it's hurting the team now.
And I think he knows that. Like, I think he will, like, it'll be on him. Like, look, thank you, but you know, you guys can use this spot or something, like, whatever. Like, I think he knows that he's taking up space.
I've made up enough of those checks since 2010. Like, he hasn't really deserved above the minimum, and he's kind of gotten above the minimum like multiple times. So he hasn't even deserved the minimum.
Lifer.
Agreed.
I love you, Udonis. He's an OG, but now you're really seeing how it's affecting you. You got too many guys at the bottom of the bench that aren't giving you anything.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's hard to win in a COVID season like that.
Well, thankfully, and by the way, I think after the Christmas and New Year's break, I think the COVID has really been under control in the league, which is a really good sign. Yeah. And I'm never gonna give the NBA credit, and especially with that whole anthem shit that happened today, like, I'm so mad at them. But they did say, it's like, well, you know, let's just let the Christmas buzz, the Christmas and New Year's spike happen. And, you know, they were right, fortunately, that, you know, we don't want these guys to be, you know, unsafe or whatever.
I'm hoping we don't get a Super Bowl burst here.
Well, not the players.
So. Yeah, not the players. Yeah.
I don't know, man. These players have been wild.
We don't need an All-Star.
We don't need that as well.
The All-Star game is stupid. The whole anthem thing is ridiculous. And for Mark Cuban to be the fucking leader, you know what I mean? That was
so
funny.
Nauseating.
That was a name I did not expect from Mark Cuban to be at the cutting edge of this.
When they say they're like throwing around putting the dunk contest at halftime of the All-Star game, like, keep it.
Let's bring more players. Let's bring more players.
It's a television product, but like, it's so dumb. It's like, why do we need that?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The anthem thing's ridiculous. The All-Star game's ridiculous. What the fuck is the league doing?
Making money. Trying to recoup.
The anthem's not making the money. That's the thing. It's like, it's such an easy thing to do.
Keeping people happy.
They're trying to please the people who complain about the NBA and don't want to watch the NBA, don't support the NBA. Why are you trying to please them?
Exactly. These people are not watching your product anyway.
They're bashing your product.
Exactly.
Sometimes I wonder if we just live in a Twitter echo, because like, Twitter thinks differently than like the real world. Twitter's not the real world. Like, as embedded as us as we are in Twitter, it's not the real world. So I wonder, I haven't even talked to my family about this. I was like, hey, like, is that something that's popular for you? Like, how would you feel about this? I don't know how regular people.
I saw a tweet today that it was such a big issue with the Mavs that they went 26 games before anyone noticed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal at all. Who cares? I have never gone to a game and be like, oh shit, I gotta get there early, make sure I get there for the national anthem.
So, chat slandering Mark Cuban, as we always should, because Mark Cuban has overseen a lot of awful things, including like sexual harassment and just some culture of toxic masculinity in his organization.
And 2006. So, you know,
yeah, and 2006. So Janichi was just saying, like, Cuban can do all the good he wants. I'm not forgiving him for what happened in that organization. And then Marco says, yeah, Mark Cuban sucks. He's the Mitt Romney of owners.
That's even too nice.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, guys. So thank you for coming to stream. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Speaking of stream, check us out on StreamBeat.
Hey.
Plug your shit, Frankie. Hurry up. Yeah. What is it? Tell people what it is. They don't know what it is.
Check us out on StreamBeat, guys. We're reviewing movies and shows, old and new. We just dropped our first episode. Me and Moose talk about WandaVision up to episode 5. We talk Marvel theories and where we think the series and the MCU is going
to
go.
Awful. That sounds awful. Why would anybody want to listen to that?
Listen, And you're gonna hear a lot of our Heat Beat family on there. We're gonna talk all your favorite movies and stuff. Follow us on Street Beat Pod on Twitter.
And remember to check out Siobhan's article, heatbeatmiami.com.
Absolutely.
Remember to check out Hangover Time here after every single Miami Heat game on our post game, on our pregame show with myself and Jack Alfonso and whoever else stops into this.
Articles.
LSO. LSO Sports. I don't think LSO streaming this week, but they will post over the weekend an episode. I know that Alf is recording tomorrow with the guys. He talked about it with me. So follow their podcast feed. It's legitimately great, and especially, you know, if you love Heat Beat and you've heard Parrish and you've heard Alf and you've heard Maddox on the post game shows, you know, you want more of them. We love to meme on Maddox. They're all great guys. Yep. So check out LSO and all that, and we got going on. And let's get four in a row, y'all.